Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, coming to you live from the Holy Land of Israel. Welcome to our program, which covers world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of Jesus Christ. Well, it is great to be here with all of you. I am coming to you live from the land of Israel. And we are about 4 days away from going back to the United States of America, where there is a lot of controversy going on right now. And, of course, you are not the prophet nor the son of a prophet. And you probably work for a nonprofit organization, but I think you might have a guess as to what the topic of the show is going to be on today. I am so glad, folks, that Dr. Baker and myself were here in the land of Israel when this detestable Supreme Court ruling came down that redefined marriage. And I'm glad that we were here in Israel. We're still here in Israel. We'll be leaving on Wednesday night to go back to, well, what Dr. Baker calls Sodom and Gomorrah. But, you know, the people here in Israel, they don't understand what in the world is going on in the United States of America. And what I want to do right now is to kick the program off. And let me just make something very clear to all of you who are listening to this show, either live or the archive show. Dr. Baker and I do not hate homosexuals. We do not endorse violence against homosexuals. Those who advocate or promote or carry out the act of violence are nothing but criminals, and they should go to jail. What Dr. Baker and I want to do today on this show is to let people know that they can be delivered from this detestable lifestyle of sodomy, and nobody has the right to redefine marriage as based as what is in the Word of God. Let me start off by reading Psalm chapter 33 in verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. In other words, God blesses a nation that seeks him and his righteousness, a nation that is walking in righteousness. God blesses that very nation. Unfortunately, this isn't the United States. Another passage I want to read is out of Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 34, and many of you are familiar with this. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God once again exalts a nation that is righteous. But unfortunately, folks, this isn't the United States of America in its current, present status right now. June 26, 2015, Dr. Baker, and of course Dr. Baker is with me, and usually when I interview him, he's either on the other end of the line in Dallas, Texas, but he is sitting right next to me here in the land of Israel. Dr. Baker, June 26, 2015, America declared war.
Absolutely.
On God.
Open, hostile warfare. And we shouldn't be surprised, because the Bible does say that the carnal mind in Romans 8 is at enmity with God, nor will they subject themselves to the law of God. And the law of God, from the beginning, is that marriage is to be between one man, one woman. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, inspired by God, through His Holy Spirit, who carried along the writers of Scripture to reveal God's will and plan for the ages, then we must believe that marriage, God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman. How do I know that? Let's go back to the beginning. Bereshit, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we find the origin of marriage here came from God. After God created Adam, our federal head, He said this in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. So the animals certainly didn't serve to be a companion and a helpmate to Adam. So what did God do in light of this? Well, God created the female human so that she could complement and come alongside the man and be his partner, his equal partner in life. Note here, God didn't create another man to be with Adam, like Adam with Steve. He created a woman to be with a man. Nor did God create two women to be with each other, Adam and Eve. No, He created one man and one woman for each other. Verse 21 of Genesis 2 goes on to say, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" And then in verse 24, Moses says this, "Therefore a man," this is the act of marriage, "therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And if you think that the New Testament was more modern than the Old Testament, and that it would somehow accommodate same-sex marriage, think again, because the Lord Jesus Himself affirms the act of the creation of man and woman, that woman was created for man so that they could be one in marriage. Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus reaffirms what the Father, He and the Father did in Genesis 2.
It's coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ now, folks.
As the two persons of the Godhead, they created man and woman to be together, one man, one woman, under the marital bond and union of marriage. So the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they asked him about the issue of divorce. They said to him, Matthew 19:3, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he, meaning Jesus, responded and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?"
Wait a minute, Jesus Christ said that?
Yes, God Almighty Himself, who lived a perfect life. And said, "For this reason," and now Jesus is quoting Genesis 2:24, putting His divine stamp of approval on it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh."
He quotes Genesis 2:24.
And then in Matthew 19:6, "So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." So the origin of marriage comes from God. It's defined, and it consists of one man with one woman, not two men together or two women together. And to deviate from that marital blueprint that God has given is an egregious violation of the ordination of marriage by God, and it's thumbing your nose in God's face with temerity and hubris to say, "Oh, we're like the Supreme Court. We're going to redefine marriage and make homosexuality acceptable through so-called gay marriage."
Folks, two men cannot procreate and have a child. Two women cannot procreate and have a child. It doesn't work. As you said, Dr. Baker, the plumbing is all wrong.
It does not fit.
But it does happen between a man and a woman based on what we just read in Genesis 2:24, and Jesus Christ himself confirming this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 and 5. Nobody has a right to define what marriage is. And I think with this 5-4 Supreme Court decision was nothing more than a travesty that is going to split this country, the United States, apart. They have no idea what they've just done,
yeah.
Dr. Baker. As a matter of fact,
they don't care.
The Bible says, and exactly, the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You can throw America in there.
Yes.
Psalm 9:20 tells us this. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. America is not bigger than God. She may be the superpower on planet Earth. She may be the most wealthiest and mightiest in military terms of a nation on the face of this earth, but America is not bigger than God. God is going to have the last say, Dr. Baker.
Right.
And the Bible says in Psalm 10:4, the wicked, to the pride of his countenance, does not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And Dr. Baker, God was not in the thought of Ginsburg.
Absolutely not.
Who was the other one there?
Ginsburg, Sotomayor.
Sotomayor. God wasn't in her thoughts.
Kennedy.
God wasn't in his thoughts.
The other one is Bruner.
God, did you say Kagan?
I was going to say
Kagan. Okay, Kagan, yeah. God was not in the thought of those five Supreme Court judges who have the temerity to redefine marriage and say, now we force all 50 states to comply. And there's 34 states that comply right now, but Dr. Baker, there are 14 who have banned.
And, who knows whether or not they will disobey this unrighteous law. And folks, Christians do have the freedom to disobey the laws of the government.
When it conflicts with the Word of God.
If those laws contradict Scripture and at the same time violate your moral conscience in obeying God's Word as his follower and believer. And let me say further proof that God was not in the godless minds of these five injustices was the fact that the Bible condemns the homosexual lifestyle from beginning to end, Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah.
In fact, under the Old Covenant, God commanded Moses that if a male should lie with another male, they have defiled themselves and committed an abomination in God's eyes. Leviticus 18:22 says, God saying this to Moses as Moses was writing the Torah down on Mount Sinai. This comes directly from the mouth of God as Moses was recording it.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Then in Leviticus 20:13, God says the very same thing again. What does abomination mean? That means something that is utterly offensive and morally detestable to a holy, righteous God. Homosexuality is morally detestable to God. Why? Well, because, again, you're misusing the body for something that is twisted and perverted and violates the anatomical function and design of a male body, which God created for a female body, and a female body, which God created for a male body, to come together as one in the act of sex in marriage. Ideally, for procreation. And as Brother Ogden said, homosexuals can't produce children.
No, not mine.
So,
it doesn't even come close.
It not only goes against the Word of God for what marriage is and how it's defined, it also is called, in terms of an abominable sin in the eyes of God. And we now come to what the New Testament says about homosexuality. Paul addresses this in Romans 1. And the danger here, and we said this on our video presentation of the sin of sodomy and the Supreme Court's reckless decision to legalize gay marriage, we said that when a nation, according to what Paul's teaching by God, the inspired, by God, the Holy Spirit, inspired him to pen the book of Romans, we said that in Romans 1, 24 through 32, that a nation and a people who openly and publicly practice homosexuality and endorse and support it, that this is proof that the judgment of God's abandonment is upon them. Here's what Paul says concerning that, starting in verse 26 of Romans 1. For this reason, God gave them up. Who are them? We'll go back to verse 24. Those who gave themselves up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for the lie. So homosexuality is a lie because it denies the natural pattern and plan for God concerning a man and woman in marriage. They exchange the truth for a lie and worship and serve the Creator rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. So that's lesbianism. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, that's male homosexuality, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So note here, God looks upon lesbianism and male homosexuality by calling it unnatural, that is, it is against nature, by calling it vile passions, dishonorable to the body, and also unclean. And then we go on. Verse 28 of Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, yeah, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That would be a defaced mind. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, and he lists all these other sins. But verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So this judgment, when you practice homosexuality or support and endorse it, this judgment consists then of God abandoning them to this sin, which in the end will utterly and totally destroy them, so they will become reprobate. The word reprobate there means to be in an incorrigible state of mind where you have so far veered off the course.
God let them have their way.
That God not only lets them have their way, but also allows the destructive nature of this sin, in this case homosexuality, to destroy them, where they become beyond the reach of God's redemptive hand. They become reprobate. August, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, brother, you know, just as you were talking about that, Dr. Baker, I'm reminded of Paul once again, you know, because we hear this all the time. Well, that was just Old Testament, Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13. That was just Old Testament. Dr. Baker just read from the New Testament. It's clear. You don't need a PhD to figure this one out, where the Apostle Paul, under the movement of the Holy Spirit of God, condemned this lifestyle. I mean, it wasn't Paul's word. It was the word of God
spoken
in the Scripture,
right,
written through Paul. But I'm also reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, where it says this: know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Stop lying to yourself. He says this: neither fornicator. That word fornicator or fornication comes from the Greek word pornos, and it covers all types of sexual sins, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual.
Exactly.
God says those who practice fornication, those who are in the pornographic industry, those who practice pornography, those who practice sexual immorality, heterosexual, homosexual, he says they will not be in heaven. Fornicators, nor idolaters. America is a nation plunged in idolatry. Nor adulterers. men cheating on their wives, wives cheating on their husbands. Now, here it is right here, Dr. Baker. Effeminate. That is another word for homosexuality. And then he goes on to say, effeminate nor abusers. Those abusers, Dr. Baker, you taught me something new.
Okay.
Those abusers there are sodomites. They are the ones who actually sodomize and abuse their effeminate partners.
Yeah, and they are the male dominant player in the
whole thing. The male dominant
relationship. And the effeminate is, again, the more feminine, passive, soft person in the relationship. So Paul is condemning all types of homosexuality, whether it be the effeminate kind or whether it be the macho, tough kind. It's all condemned in Scripture.
Look at,
and the word sexual immorality to the Hebrew mind, and Jesus uses the same term in Mark chapter 7, covers all sexual sin outside marriage. It's an all-encompassing term that includes fornication, adultery, bestiality, pedophilia, homosexuality,
all
acts.
Exactly. It's all there.
There's no escape from the obvious here. The New Testament, like the Old Testament, we have God condemning the homosexual lifestyle. Let me read you. Are you finished with that passage?
Well, I was just gonna go
ahead. Another one.
He says fornicators are not going to heaven, and I'm paraphrasing here. Effeminate are not going to heaven. Idolaters are not going to heaven. Adulterers are not going to heaven. Abusers are not going to heaven. He says in verse 10, nor thieves, those who take something that don't belong to them, covetous, want something that belongs to somebody else. Those who are intoxicated every single night, revilers, those who riot, or extortioners, those who try to bribe money from others, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, that may have been your past lifestyle until Jesus Christ changed you, like he did Dr. Baker and myself, because he says, and such were some of you. Past tense. He says, but you are washed. That's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, you set apart, but you are justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Dr. Baker.
Yeah, that's correct. And again, those who claim to be Christian and have no problem practicing and living a homosexual lifestyle, you are in serious danger because you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to repent of that sin, truly turn from it, ask God to forgive you, ask God to give you his power through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to break this terrible bondage that you are enslaved to, and he will do it. Let me add another thing. In 1 Timothy, God's moral law was given to homosexuals to restrain their lawless and unhealthy and destructive behavior. He says here, Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners. And who are the ungodly and who are the sinners? Well, Paul gives a list here. For the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Notice here that both the law of Moses and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ teach that sin and lawlessness is expressed through the two sexual sins of fornication and homosexuality, when Paul names fornicators and sodomites as being insubordinate, lawless, and ungodly. So there's a clear indication here, not only by the law of Moses, but according to the gospel, brother. And homosexuality is sinful.
And I'm going to tell everyone something right now that's listening to our voices. I hear this all the time. Jesus never condemned homosexuality. I'm going to prove you from the Word of God right now that that is a lie that is right from the very pit of hell. Mark chapter 7, 21 through 23. Notice what Jesus Christ said. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. And then he mentions these thoughts, these actions. He says it, Dr. Baker. He says, adulteries, men cheating on wives cheating on men. Fornication.
That would include
plural.
Any sex outside of marriage.
All sexual
whether
sins.
Whether heterosexual or homosexual.
All types of sexual sins. So don't tell me he never condemned this one. He said fornication, porneia, pornos. He says murders, taking another person's life, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Wow, he keeps going on here. He says that all these evil things come from within and defile a man. That came right from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Not only does Jesus Christ endorse one man, one woman in holy matrimony, he spoke in Genesis 2:24, in Matthew 19:3-5. I mean, what more evidence do you need, folks? And then he makes it clear right here. He says, fornication. Jesus Christ clearly, that's literal, and that's plural, clearly condemned this type of lifestyle. And Dr. Baker, unless it is repented of, whether on the heterosexual side or the homosexual side, unless it is clearly repented of, those people will never, ever see the kingdom of God.
Well, that's right. The scripture is very clear that the sexually immoral, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual, if they do not repent of their sin and acknowledge it as sinful and seek the redemptive deliverance found in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture is very clear on that point. In the book of Revelation, we read here in Revelation, let me find it here.
And while you're looking at that, Dr. Baker, let me just read something quickly here out of the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Paul is talking about the works of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. He's saying the same thing Jesus was saying.
Yep.
Fornication.
Pornos.
Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. And such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
And as proof reinforcing that truth, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, when the redeemed are in the kingdom of God, and they dwell in the new, the celestial city called the New Jerusalem, here is what Jesus says to John on the Isle of Patmos, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, that would be unclean people, morally unclean people,
yeah,
and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now remember, sexual immorality is an all-encompassing term that includes any act of sex outside of marriage, and that includes homosexuality. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. So here Jesus is saying this stuff will keep you from the kingdom of God, will keep you from heaven, and keep you from being a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem. So don't give me this nonsense because Jesus never explicitly called out or named homosexuality as a sin. That means he automatically approved of it. That's a bad argument for silence.
It's a really bad argument.
If you want to go that route, then Jesus never condemned bestiality either. He never condemned rape. Does that make those two atrocious acts all of a sudden?
Does it make it moral? Yeah, does it make it moral? It doesn't make it moral at all.
So they came out and used that argument. When in fact Jesus did say that homosexuality is a sin of sexual immorality.
Yep.
And all this that we are covering, sadly, has been ignored and rejected by the American government, which I believe, according to what we read in Romans 1, 24-32, they have been handed over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen when this decision came down yesterday, June 26th. What they did yesterday, what the five injustices of the Supreme Court did yesterday in giving a semblance of legality to the abomination of homosexuality and gay marriage, what they did simply confirmed what God has already done. He's already given them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah, that's what the Bible says, absolutely. Now, Dr. Bacon, let's take it over into the eschatological realm. Let's take it over into Bible prophecy.
Okay.
We're living in the last days. Now, Paul makes that very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self." That's what we're hearing now. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They hate us, man.
Absolutely.
Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure.
Yes.
Even more than lovers of God.
Right.
Right? Hedonism, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, we know, Dr. Baker, that the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church of the living God. That could happen at any moment, at any time. That's the event that you and I, as Bible believers, along with millions of other Bible believers, are waiting for today. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but I do believe we're living in the times and the season. But sometime after the rapture of the church, the Bible describes a seven-year period of tribulation that will come upon this world. In the midst of that tribulation period, these people will be practicing these same sodomite sexual sins.
Jesus says that in Luke 17, verses 28 through 30. He did say that right before his return to earth, the world at large will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, well, what was that like? Well, I don't know if we have time, but we'll just quickly reference and go to Genesis 19, where Lot was living in the corrupt and extremely depraved Sodom and Gomorrah, twin cities. And these cities were renowned for one particular sin, and that would be the sin of homosexuality, as James 7 and 8 tell us. But Jesus says here, he predicts that there will be a sodomite revolution throughout the world right before he returns, using the homosexual cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot having to live there as an end time and eschatological example. Jesus says here in Luke 17, 28, "Likewise as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Verse 30, "Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be." Which, by the way, what Jesus just prophesied here is quite revealing.
Yes.
You realize that Jesus is saying here he will have the same fiery and destructive judgment during the tribulation period, right before he will return, on all those who practice homosexuality worldwide, as they once did in Sodom and Gomorrah, which too was also destroyed by God's fiery judgment when he rained brimstone on these two perverted cities. So nothing has changed with God, and nothing has changed with Jesus Christ.
No.
They hate the sin of homosexuality, and if it is not repented of, they will, like the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, face the fiery judgment of God, even brimstone from heaven, and it will destroy them all. But God is not willing that any should perish.
And absolutely. But even in the middle of the tribulation period, as Dr. Baker, Revelation 9, 20 and 21, it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorcery," that's their witchcraft, their pharmacy, their drug use, "nor of their fornication, even in the tribulation.
Exactly.
In the
they're
faith,
still doing it.
In the faith of divine wrath, they're still practicing these sins, even though there's death all around them.
And the reason why, go back to Romans 1. They've been given over to a reprobate mind.
Reprobate
makes you the visible and catastrophic judgments of God, predicted in the book of Revelation, that will happen in the last 7 years of this earth's history. They still will pursue their sin. That is why the sin of homosexuality is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And why God wants
extremely dangerous.
It is the only sin in the Bible where reprobation is directly associated with the practice of that sin, as, of course, revealed by Paul in Romans 1, 24 through 30. There comes a point in time.
Yeah.
Where you cross the line with God when you're practicing that sin, and when you cross that line, you become incorrigible, reprobate, to where you're beyond the redemptive reach of God. Now, you and I don't know where that line is crossed.
Well, we don't know where it is crossed.
But if you start going down that road, you get closer and closer to crossing over that line and becoming a reprobate.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Doc, it will cost you your soul. What did Jesus Christ say? What shall a prophet man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? So, Dr. Baker, we have less than 9 minutes in the show. And maybe there is someone out there right now who is involved in this sodomy lifestyle. They're involved in sexual immorality. They're involved in adultery. They're involved in fornication. Maybe they're addicted to pornography. And they're saying, how can I be free from this lifestyle? I don't have the assurance of going to heaven when I die. How can I be assured that I can be free from this bondage and have assurance of going to heaven? What would you tell these people listening?
Well, Jesus said he came to set sinners who are captive to sin free. He came to set them free. And how is that freedom given by the great liberator inside Jesus? Well, it's given by the fact that he went to the cross and paid the penalty for any sins you are committing, which earned the wrath and judgment of God. And that wrath and judgment is measured by the fact that you will spend an eternity in hell to pay for those sins you committed against an eternal being like God is. But the good news is that God loves you so much, he does not want to abandon you to a Christless eternity in hell. No, he sent his one and only Son to pay the penalty for your sin, whether it be homosexuality, adultery, fornication. He paid the penalty for your sin. He endured God's wrath for them when he died in your place on the cross, so that you could be liberated from the enslavement of that sin, cleansed from the defilement of that sin by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is the ransom price for our salvation. And then you are delivered from it because you died of sin through the death of Christ. And then he gives you new life through his resurrection. And when you believe that he did this for you, the Bible says you will be saved. Not just believing in Carson, but believing in what Jesus did for you in his death and resurrection, and totally trusting in that to free you from sin, to save you from sin, to keep you from going to hell so that you can spend an eternity with God in heaven. If you believe that Jesus did that alone for you to bring you salvation, you shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is divine God, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no sin too stronger than the liberating power of God cannot free you from. There's no sin so dark and dirty that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you from. There is hope for you, but you have to acknowledge whether you're a homosexual sinner, an adulterous sinner, or you must acknowledge that what you're doing is a disobedience to the moral law of God. You must admit that by doing that sin, you deserve God's wrath and condemnation. And then accepting that all of that has been taken off of you and placed upon Jesus as your righteous, sinless substitute.
Yes,
on the cross. That's what you have to do. It's called repentance.
It must be repentance.
Turning from your sin to embrace the sinless sacrifice of the Savior for you, to free you from that sin, to cleanse you from that sin. And if you do that, you will be saved. You'll be filled with joy. You'll have a future of serving the Lord in ways you can't imagine that will be spiritually satisfying. And you'll never want to turn to anything other than him in the future.
Now, folks, that, I mean, Dr. Baker just gave you a biblical answer to your problems, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be delivered and saved from this lifestyle. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. 3, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he alone can change and transform your very life. And you can contact Dr. Baker by going through searchthescripturesonline.org, or you can go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Dr. Baker and I can help you. We can show you exactly how you can do that. Again, folks, in closing, we do not hate anybody. And we emphasize that over and over and over again. We do not hate anybody. We love everybody with the love of Jesus Christ. But we love you enough to warn you that you are in serious trouble. You are one heartbeat away from eternal destruction, perdition, in what the Bible describes in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, as a lake of fire. Dr. Baker was on his way there one time.
Absolutely.
I was on my way there one time until somebody cared enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, just like we care enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Folks, we're living in the last days. Jesus Christ could return at any moment, at any time. And all I can say is, America just put this on her gravestone. America, July 4th, 1775. Dr. Baker, 76. Date of death?
June 26th, 2015.
Folks, the writing is on the wall. Time is running out. The rapture of the church could happen at any moment, at any time. With just a few minutes that we have left on the show, I just want to report to you briefly that Dr. Baker and I, our trip here in Israel is 2.5 weeks. It's winding down. We have 4 days left to continue to share the gospel with the Jewish people, as well as Arabs here in the homeland. We have won 3 people to the Lord Jesus, 2 Jews, and 1 Arab lady up north in Akko. And would you please continue to pray for Dr. Baker and I for the next 4 days, as we'll be leaving Wednesday night, to continue to share the gospel with the Jewish people, to continue to pass out these Bibles, to continue to plant the seed of the Word of God. Not only do we need your prayers, but we also need your financial support to help us in future missions outreach. Now, I plan on coming back with Dr. Baker in December, as well as going with Lord Jesus Harry's in June of 2016. We need your financial support because you are having a hand in sending Dr. Baker and myself here to Israel. We're going to be producing a DVD soon with all the biblical teachings that we've done out here in the land of Israel. So again, if you want to get a hold of Dr. Todd Baker, go to his website, searchthescripturesonline.org. And he's got a lot of great stuff on there that you can really sink your teeth into to help you to discover the Jewish roots of your Christian faith and to learn Bible prophecy. And, of course, you can tune in every single Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I come to you looking at current world events and life of biblical prophecy. And I just told Dr. Baker that we're going to have him on as a monthly contributor to our show. So, folks, again, continue to pray for us here in the land of Israel. Remember,
Jesus Christ is indeed coming soon, and it could be today. So, folks, until next week, Lord willing, this is August Rosado. But today is Bible Prophecy Ministry, along with Dr. Baker, saying, keep looking up. Jesus is indeed coming soon. Shalom.